If you only knew what was on me. If you only, if you only knew what was on me.
If you only. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Cinema with the Guys. This is episode 24. We are back to break down episode 2 of Loki, as usual. I'm your host, Scott, at Barb Chess Scott on Twitter and Instagram. This is my brother, Flo. You can follow him at FOZandolini on Twitter and Instagram. Now, I'm not going to lie to the public. I'm a little up there right now. So, I did not...
I did want to explain to our white viewers what that means?
I'm a little smacked right now.
You want to further explain?
I'm a little drunk right now. They should know what the fuck smack means.
I don't think so.
They should know exactly what the fuck.
Every smack time I start means. A podcast, the train comes in. It's ridiculous. You hear that?
Yeah, I can hear.
Ah, well, you'll have to get used to it.
But yeah, so we're here to break down episode 2 of Loki. I did not write scene by scene notes because I am not all the way here. But we're gonna discuss this episode. It was a crazy fucking episode that I've seen a couple times already. I actually had to watch again this morning for like the first time because I'm washed, so I was kind of sleepy the first 30 minutes of the episode.
Wow, there's so much going on.
Yeah, but it wasn't the show. I was just tired, just in general.
I don't know. I'm watching TV and something's exciting, my sleepiness goes away.
I wish, nigga.
Well, my eyes, we're 2 years apart, nigga.
That's a lot. It's a lot. Bad. Yes, it is. When it comes to tolerance, yes, it is.
I guess.
So, yeah, I was, you know, I had to watch it again. And
I will break down the scene by scene. I won't get everything, but I literally have it in front of me right now. Okay. First thing that comes is, of course, it's the recap of everything that happened. But what we start off is, it looks like this is in 1985, and they're in
Wisconsin.
No, it's not even that. It's like the fair. It's there in like this.
It's a fair in like Oshkosh, Wisconsin. That was the name of it.
This is like looks like a 18th century fair, and so they're all dressed up in this fire team. A fire team is four people in the military of TVA agents are going to investigate a variant sighting. Now, this is what they believe to be Loki. Who this Loki is, of course, this is not the variant Loki we know. This isn't the Loki that took the space stone. No, this is this variant Loki that's murdering TVA agents. And when they get there, of course, they immediately get ambushed and murdered by Loki. But Loki takes one of them. And I think the person's name was like C250. I couldn't remember the exact name.
Hunter C20.
Hunter C20. And first of all, this Loki enchants this person, puts an enchantment on them. If you're not familiar with enchantments or the Enchantress or just that part of Loki period, you probably haven't seen Loki do enchantments in the MCU, but he's done it plenty of times in the comics. But you can look at enchantments similar to when Scarlet Witch was doing to the Avengers during the terrible movie Age of Ultron.
Okay, we're not going to do that. We're not going to slander Age of Ultron today.
It's trash. And so she, this Loki enchants Hunter C, whatever you want to call her, nigga, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, enchants her and she starts fighting her own squad mates, her own fire teammates. Meanwhile, next scene you see Loki is back in the TVA, but this time he is full blown in the suit and tie. He got his own desk and he's talking to Miss Minutes. And Miss Minutes, who I thought was just would be on the screen, is actually part alive, part of recording. Miss Minutes is played by Tara, I forgot her name, but she's a legend in voice acting. And it actually shows that Miss Minutes is more than just a video recording on the screen. She is fully outside of the screen and is interacting with Loki, and Loki is having a big time annoying her. And so he's sitting there reading a picture of a jet ski, and I want you to keep the jet ski in mind. And this is a jet ski magazine of Mobius. And so Mobius is telling him, come on, we have something to, we have another sighting that they need to get to. He gives Loki this jacket. Loki thinks, you know, he looks stylish, think he has a TVA jacket. The back of it says variant. And what is the woman who is from, that R, not R.L. Stine.
Lovecraft Country.
Lovecraft Country, trash.
Ruby.
Ruby. We're just gonna call it Ruby.
The show was it was good, but it ended trash.
It started off so good though.
It started off with so much potential.
No. But I'm gonna call it Ruby. I have no clue what her name is. I can't remember.
Her name was actually like Hunter C-15, but we're gonna call it Ruby.
And so Ruby is describing what they need to do and calls this Loki, you know, we have to go after this Loki. And Loki that we know, we'll just call it, I don't want to say canon Loki. Canon Loki is dead. This will be, and we don't want to say variant Loki. We'll just go, well, in the end, you will find out which Loki I'm talking about. But it's going to be main Loki. And so main Loki is making sure for them to know to call this other Loki, the lesser Loki. It's funny because then Ruby points to the back of his jacket having the variant on it to let them know what is going on. So right now he's talking, after this is happening, they go in and back into the same place in 1985 in this 18th century fair festival reenactment. And they're talking about what a Nexus event is. A Nexus event destabilizes the flow of time. Also, Nexus beings destabilize the flow of time. In fact, the TVA has used Nexus beings to cut off Nexus events and also to help stop major threats to the timeline, to the multiverse. So don't forget that, because we know who a Nexus being is, and that the first only Nexus being we have right now is Scarlet Witch. Plenty of times there have been, Stephen Strange has been a Nexus being. I said it last week, I can't remember everybody, but I would love to see Stephen Strange be a Nexus being as well. That would be fire.
Is there anybody more pissed in the galaxy than Stephen Strange right now?
He is just going through crap.
That nigga just wanted a break.
Yeah. And so while they're in there and they're investigating, Loki is acting like he knows what's going on. And he was like, I have a saying in Asgard, when there's wolf teeth, there's wolf ears. And he said, oh, I'm a servant of the sacred timeline. But he doesn't really get to anything. And in this scene, it's funny. I'm not sure if he was just buying time, if he was just trying to, I don't know. I'm really not sure what was going on at all during that, his interaction with the TVA fire team, including Mobius. But he may have seemed like he was trying to lead, you know, lead them astray, betray them, and have his own motives. But remember, even Loki always has his own motives, even when he acts nice. So that doesn't go their way, and they reset the timeline. And we see the reset timeline charge literally just vaporizes everything. What makes me wonder, how do you get rid of that specific timeline? Or is it just a matter of getting rid of all organic or inorganic material? Because when a branch timeline reaches red, that's when a Nexus event happens. That's when you become the multiverse, as they say, it turns into madness. Meanwhile, what is the woman who is one of the heads of the TVA that we've seen so far?
Renna Renslayer?
Yeah, that's it. And so she's talking with Mobius, and Mobius is saying, you know, why does he, you know, why is he trusting in them?
An important person to pay attention to.
She bangs Kang the Conqueror.
She's Kang the Conqueror, shorty. So for people who don't know, Jonathan Majors, also from Lovecraft Country, has been booked to play Kang the Conqueror in Ant-Man 3, Quantumania, which I fucking hope they change that subtitle. I keep thinking of Hulk Hogan when I hear it. They asked him, was he going to be in Loki? And he said with a straight face, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So that doesn't mean he's in it, but that is a shorty. So let's just keep that in mind.
Kang the Conqueror is literally, as it said, he is one of the biggest threats to the entire timeline. He has... I'm trying to remember how, you know, there are different also, there are different Kangs throughout the history. I mean, there are an insane amount of variations. And so I'm not sure what the name of the current canon Kang the Conqueror is, but he's from the future, late, and I want to say like the 35th century or something like that. And he is just one of the, I want to say he's one of the greatest conquerors that the multiverse has ever seen, seeing as though he has taken over multiple universes, and he has territory that rivaled the TVA. Remember, the TVA has territory that they take over. Yeah. And it's funny because when they talk about themselves being the biggest power in the universe, it's not necessarily true. And also, the timekeepers aren't that strong. Timekeepers are strong, but I'm not sure I believe that the timekeepers are abstract level.
You kind of get that feeling during this episode that the timekeepers shit is kind of cap. Yeah, it's kind of cap.
And even Loki laughs at Mobius and says, you sure about that?
Yeah.
Which is the interaction after he's done talking to Rena, him and he begins, she explains, why do you stick your neck out for him? And, you know, I have a knack for people who are basically downtrodden. And so they have a little bit of a squabble. And this is when Mobius tells Loki that, I know that this variant is better and smarter than you. And Loki, of course, laughs it off, fixes Mobius's ties up and says, you know, I think it's adorable that you could think you can manipulate me. So all of that, you know, expression of sadness and contempt and wanting, not contempt, but sadness and wanting to turn his life around. Of course, it always comes with the tag of, it's still Loki.
Loki still wants to do stuff for himself.
Exactly. And Loki explains that he's been playing a game with him all along. And he even asks him, why are you sticking your neck out for me? Afterwards, Loki is sitting down and reading he's given homework by Mobius about what he's going to, how they're going to catch this Loki and how he's going to study on this Loki and how this Loki is different than the Lokis that he's used to. So meanwhile, Loki is in the TVA library and he's trying to find out information on the timekeepers, as well as the beginning of time, as well as the end of time. He just wants information on what the power of the timekeepers are. But all he gets from this head librarian is classified, 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 classified. But after he says, what can he read? He is given a variant case file from a lady on what he can read. Now, I did have a screenshot because I wanted to read what it is, and it said Loki Lofton's unauthorized time variation, and this is the case file he is given. Now, case file he is given has the destruction of Asgard as we know it, and I think it says the Revengers, and of course you know who the Revengers are. this was the ragtag.
Me, the big guy.
The ragtag group of Hulk, Thor, what's the other girl's name?
Valkyrie,
Loki,
Banner.
I already said Hulk.
Okay.
And Heimdall.
Heimdall, yeah. Oh, don't forget my man,
Carl Urban.
Yeah, my man. And also, don't forget my man, Korg.
Oh, Korg. Was it, what's all the dudes? Korg and
Meek.
And Meek. And so, this,
hey guys, Meek is dead.
This main Loki is reading about the destruction of Asgard, and it literally says total planetary disruption, zero variance energy detected. So there's not a variance detected. This was just a natural causing apocalypse. Class 7 apocalypse was written in there, and Loki sees the casualties around almost 10,000 people, almost all citizens of Asgard, and Loki is reading it with tears in his eyes. And it's the code in Revengers is hilarious, but he is fixating on the fact that there's zero variance energy, and he's saying, huh. And so he starts to think, and his mind gets to working, and he goes back to Mobius with a theory on, you know, what
basically you can hide in you know, big situations that, you know, basic big what's the word he used?
His words were, he's talking
catastrophic.
He's talking to Mobius and he says Nexus events happen when someone does something they're not supposed to. Basically, you know, the TVA, the timekeepers have basically weaved the fabric of everyone's life, which is big cap. Mobius says, oh, it's a little more complicated than that, but sure. And he said, when they do something not supposed to, it cascades into a whole other range of events until a new timeline branches. And when a new timeline branches, that does not have any sort of predetermined outcome, what happens? Madness. And what the timekeepers are trying to do is establish order. And so Loki is using his salad.
It's like a metaphor.
It's a metaphor.
And Mobius was high because he wanted to eat that fucking salad.
Yeah, and he was basically saying, during an apocalypse, I can do whatever I want because all of my footsteps, all of the traces of me are going to be erased. So he's using salt and pepper on the salad to illustrate. Look, I can do all of this. I can put all this on. And then he uses like a drink to drown the salad out, so you don't even know that he put salt and sugar and salt and pepper in there, because it's at least the surface view of it. And he was saying Ragnarok Surtur would destroy Asgard no matter what. It's going to happen. It's predetermined. It's predestined. And so Mobius, of course, is pissed. And so Loki is trying to explain to him, like, this is true. This is actually what's going to happen. And then he's saying that this Loki is hiding in Apocalypse. Loki is jumping time, because remember, Loki has access to this Loki, this variant Loki, dangerous variant Loki, superior Loki, or lesser Loki's main Loki calls it, is hiding in Apocalypse. This is why you can't find out where he's going. You don't know where he's been or where he's going to, because wherever he goes, the Apocalypse is behind him, cover his tracks. And so Loki says, we're going to have to test this theory. And so they end up in Pompeii. Now, if you remember what happened in Pompeii, Pompeii is in Italy, and it was around 79, 78 AD, and Pompeii got destroyed by the volcano, literally to the point that the body survived due to like a mummification process for thousands of years. And so Loki gets there and says, all right, here's what's going on. He's talking about how the entire town is going to be wiped off the face of the planet. And Loki, of course, being Loki, is excited. And he's arguing with Mobius, and Mobius like, all right, we don't want to be too giddy. And he's like, ah, come on, it's cool. And so they're trying to find a way to cause a variance disturbance. And so it's like in typical time travel movies. Oh, don't interact with your past self. Don't bet on a sporting event. Don't do any of these things. As remember, as they discussed in Endgame, mm-hmm. don't do all of these things. And so, which is, you know, it's intriguing because this Loki does something not predetermined and causes variance energy. Mobius tells him to chirp like a bird. And he was like, huh? And so Loki, of course, doesn't listen. Loki goes to the middle of town, frees some chickens that are sitting in his coop. And actually, no, it's goats. Freeze goats that are sitting in his coop, causing the goat herd to run off. And so Loki starts speaking in old ancient Italian and says, you know, we are agents of the time variant authority, and I bring you dark tidings. He said, because all of you are about to die. And he says, I would know because I'm from the future.
I'm from the future. We're from the future, right? It's future-y.
He looks and laughs. After that's all happened, and he's just having a blast. Like, nothing has any consequences. Dance while you still can. I mean, this is Loki straight from a comic. It's hilarious to see the different variations.
Great acting by Tom Hiddleston.
And I know Tom Hiddleston is probably having hella fun doing it.
Yeah.
And so after that happens, what's going on? Pompeii explodes, and then he realizes Mobius looks at his TVA variance tracker. I'm not really 100% sure. And says,
no variance.
No various energy. And so he realized he's been hiding in Doomsdays to cover their tracks. And Loki tells him that, you know, you're welcome. Meanwhile, they're sitting up having a late night trying to study. I wouldn't say late night because time in the TVA goes weirdly. And so after they couldn't, because they're, you know, they're trying to crunch some numbers, see what's going on. Mobius tells him to go on, you know, let's take a walk. They go on a little break in the lunchroom. And Loki asked him about jet skis. Remember, Loki's looking at a jet ski magazine at the beginning of this episode. And he was like, oh, well, you know, most things in history are kind of dumb. You know, and they get ruined, you know. But in the 90s.
That's a great Owen Wilson impersonation.
Yeah, for the 90s, you know, this is brief union of function and form, he said, which we call the jet ski. He says, a reasonable man cannot differ. And so Loki asks him, have you ever been on one? And Mobius says no, because as you remember, the TVA, every agent of the TVA is created to do one job, and that's that. And he's also saying if you would get on a jet ski, he's pretty sure that would cause a branch timeline. And so this is a really good interaction between the two, because it really touches on a personal level. And as they're talking, you know, Loki talks about the three magic lizards, and he calls them timekeepers. And he says, created the TV one, everything in it, including you and including me. And Loki says, every time I start to admire your intelligence, you say something like that. But then, of course, Mobius says, you were born from a frost giant on Jotunheim, who was then rescued by the Asgardian All-Father, Odin. And he was saying, then you were raised by Figa, and he was raised by Odin, and you have your brother as Thor, and Asgard is this mystical realm beyond the heavens. And he says, it's the same. And Loki's like, no, it's not. It's completely different. And so they're having this back and forth conversation about belief, about almost a religious connotation. And then Mobius says something that's really, really incredible. Because if you think too hard about where any of us came from, who we truly are, it sounds kind of ridiculous. Existence is chaos. Nothing makes sense of it, so we try to make sense of it. And it's amazing because, at least in my own, you know, personal opinion, I think if you look at the creation of the world, whether through the eyes of religion or through the eyes of evolutionary science, it still sounds unfathomable, unpredictable, and highly unlikely. We have to be where we are perfectly. You know, if we're on a planet closer, a planet further, we're talking about freezing or burning to death. We have to literally be where we are. Our ancient ancestor was a being in the water who got out of the water and grew some legs and some lungs and started breathing. And then that became primates. And then these primates started to develop human features. And that became Neanderthals, Homo erectus, and just so many things. And when you think about that, it does seem ridiculous. You go a religious route, God created us with a small amount on this small planet. And from there, we populated. Both of them sound so hard to get when you think about it at its core. And as they're having this conversation, Mobius says, the TVA is my life. It's real because I believe it's real. And Loki's like, fair enough. You know, you believe it's real. That's great. But then he goes again, everything is written, past, present, and future, and there's no such thing as free will. Also, the argument of free will is also something in philosophy as a philosopher that is very, very big with debate. Of course, Owen Wilson of Mobius says, well, you know, it's an oversimplification. And then Loki says, well, you and I here at the TVA, then we're the only ones who are actually free. And then Mobius goes, well, you know, where are you going with this?
He starts pondering.
Exactly. And then he says, how does it all end? No one says, oh, you know, it's a work in progress. Loki says, those lazy timekeepers, what are they waiting for? And he says, no, well, you know, they protect what came before. They're toiling away in their chamber and they're untangling the epilogue and its infinite branches. And then Loki goes again, so when we finish, what happens? And he says, so are we. No more Nexus events, just order. And we meet in peace at the end of time. And Loki looks at him hilariously like, come on, you know that's Cap. His face is hilarious. He's like, okay. And Loki's like, only order, no chaos. It sounds boring. Now, remember, in the Marvel canon, the comics, they're the lords of order and chaos. Every single abstract entity almost has a negative, or the antithesis of itself. So that lets you know how the timekeepers are presented within the TV show by the TVA is Cap. It's not completely true. Now, the timekeepers are real, but to the capacity that they control, they're not on the same level as an Eternity. They're not on the same level as a Lord of Chaos. I'm not even sure they're on the same level as the Watcher. And then the same level as the Living Tribunal, who is now Adam Warlock is the Living Tribunal. I don't believe they're on that level. They never have. I mean, their history is pretty short and haven't done that much. And Loki goes back and said, you called me a scared little boy. And Loki reiterates that, no, you're wrong. And I know something that children don't. And when Mobius looks at him trying to understand what, and he says, no one bad is ever truly bad and no one good is ever truly good. I mean, this scene right here is just why I think this is the best Marvel show, at least right now. This is like blowing a 3-0 lead if this doesn't turn out to be great.
It's the conversation, it's the dialogue that's like so incredible about the show. Because a lot of scenes was like, it's not a lot of shit going on, it's just niggas talking. But it's so important to the show that you forget. Like, there's many scenes in this entire episode where it's just like Mobius and Loki just like sitting like them niggas are co-workers,
yeah,
trying to get the task done. But the conversation is so great that you don't even think about it.
Yeah. I mean, if you were to take Loki and Mobius and turn it to an entire, change their names, what would you think this was? This is a time heist movie. This is a time heist thriller. And I love that submersion to it. And after they have this talk, Mobius has that, you know, that light switch come on in his brain. He said there's an anachronistic item left behind. And he says Kablooey. And Kablooey is, for comics fans who are like me, I'm not 100% sure the significance of Kablooey, but we do know that it is a candy that, is it a blue candy? And so you don't have any candy on Asgard? And he says, yeah, you know, nuts and grapes. And he was like, goodness gracious, I know that you're miserable. And then Loki, and then Mobius starts to realize that Kablooey was sold on Earth in between 2047 and 2051. And so right now they're trying to find out what apocalyptic event was there, because Kablooey is where is like is left behind at the crime scenes of wherever this Loki is at. And so they're looking between in between 2047 and 2051 on Earth on what apocalypse events, and they're taking half of each stack of this paperwork, and they're playing to find out, they're competing to find out what's going on. And they're talking about the climate disaster 2048, the tsunami of 2051. Basically, climate change had arrived in full force there.
Yeah, that was, I the only one thought about this shit like, damn, shit's gonna be fucked up. And I was like, damn, shit gonna be fucked up in my 60s.
Yeah, yeah, because climate change, of course, very real. I'm not gonna even entertain folks who don't say it. And when you think about it, it's gonna suck. Like, we're enjoying right now, doing what we want, right, not paying attention to the Earth. Earth's gonna turn on us, you know. Talk about another volcano that erupted, and so they find it. Alabama 2050, it's a Cat 5 hurricane, and it wipes out 10,000 people. And they find out the what they're going to do. Meanwhile,
now, can you explain for the people what Roxxon is? Because, like, you know, Roxxon is like a company that's pretty important in the comics.
I don't know this. Oh, go ahead.
It's in here. There at Roxcart, was it? It's like a Roxxon grocery store type shit like that.
I'm not sure what the was. Was it Rox? What was it called?
Roxxon Company, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm trying to figure what was it called. Roxcart. I'm not sure.
Roxcart, Roxxon, yeah. Roxxon and Marvel is the Roxxon Energy Company.
I know what Roxxon. Are you talking about the Roxxon Corporation is what they've listed it as.
Yeah.
Within the show. But the funny thing is, Roxxon is what was it first? Is this Spider-Man? I'm trying to remember what called the Roxxon Energy Corporation, and I'm trying to remember where they first appeared. I want to say it was Spider-Man. I want to say it was Spider-Man and Captain America. I have the comic. I can't remember.
Spider-Man. I know it was in
Spider-Man was a part of it. Yeah, I just looked it up. Yeah. Spider-Man was a part of it.
I think it was in Daredevil too, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I'm mistaken, but it's been in some shows.
Mm-hmm. Roxxon, of course, has beef with Kamala Khan. Their really big goal is the collection of energy, the energy researching, which is interesting because the Time Twisters, who were created by the founder of the TVA, the last timekeeper, were destroying universes in the within the multiverse to research. And so I'm very intrigued what they're going to do with this, but they have a big large corporation who's doing everything they can for researching and energy. Miles Morales also interacts with them. Meanwhile, after talk with Renner Renslayer, Mobius gets Loki, and it's a go. They're going to go after this variant Loki. Now, Loki earlier tells them about shape shifting and shape projecting. They have no clue what this magic is. Matter of fact, they're laughing off. Remember, TVA magic doesn't work. TVA, I want to say, exists in a realm where there is no magic. And I think that's the best way to describe TVA. It's just in a magicless realm. Not that this realm has control over everything, but this realm just doesn't have magic. So meanwhile, when they're jumping into an actual timeline within on the Earth, Alabama 2050, Loki demonstrates his magic when they're sitting there soaking in the rain because it's a hurricane outside, and he uses his own magic to get himself not wet. And Hunter, whatever lady, Ruby says, "What in the world was that?" And he says, "I use magic to dry my clothes." This is the first time we've seen Loki use his magic to dry himself. And they have no clue what that is. They've never seen magic, which is very, very interesting. If you've never seen magic up close, how will you know what's going on when you're dealing with the Scarlet Witch, the Nexus being that we have right now? And so Mobius tries to get Loki to come with him, but Ruby tells him no, he's gonna be under my supervision. So he's following Ruby when Ruby is enchanted by Loki. And so our Loki, main Loki, looks up and says, is he dead? And I can't remember what his words were. I have written everything down, the specific lines, but basically says that he's dead. And she says, no, they usually survive. And it finds out that this is Loki, the variant Loki. And he was saying, you're the fool that brought the TVA to hunt me down. And they have, of course, this Ruby, who's enchanted by Loki, goes to tell him that he is the superior Loki. And then Loki argues that, enchantment is a coward's use. And so they're having back in, cowardly, a bit amateurish, but clever. And so they're having a back and forth. The Loki then enchants another person who comes up to them, then enchants another person, enchants a young white dude, then an older white dude. And meanwhile, Mobius and the rest of the TVA fire team finds Hunter C-50, the one that we saw at the beginning of the episode that was captured by
C-20.
And they're finding out that this Loki kept her alive. And they said, what's going on? He's like, I gave it away.
It's real.
I gave it away. It's real. It's real. I gave it away. And Mobius says, what? What did you give away? He's like, the timekeepers. I gave away where they are. I gave away how to find them to Loki. And Mobius is thinking, B-15 is her name. What's your stat? No, B-15 is Ruby. And so they're trying to find out what's going on. Ruby slightly wakes up. And meanwhile, Loki is fighting one of the enchanted persons who Loki controls. And one of them is then hooks up multiple reset charges to this main interface. And there are reset charges all over the mall. And so Loki is trying to figure out, what in the world are you going to do? Are you trying to blow up this entire area? Well, you're just trying to, just kill us all. And those who are coming after you. And so Loki turns around and he is met by Lady Loki, the variant of Loki. And if you know in the comics, the this Loki who has his crown. Now we're used to Loki with the big crown over his head. This Loki has a smaller crown with one of the horns broken off.
Yes.
And Lady Loki says, this isn't about you. And Loki says, right. And so after they have an interaction, the reset charges go off. And as the reset charges go off, you find out where the reset charges are going. They're all going to the TVA and other parts of the timeline. And so after it says initializing, there are at least dozens upon dozens of reset charges that start to bubble up, which would be overkill. But all of a sudden, breaches within the timeline, like the timekeepers use to get back to where they go, all of these reset charges start dropping. And a few drop into the TVA. I'm going to assume the rest are dropping into other places within history. And when you look on TVA's branch timeline monitor, sacred timeline monitor, all you see are branch timelines popping. And it was a code 000 is what they call it. And everything is starting to go to hell. And their specific words were somebody just bombed the sacred timeline. And so all of these events are reaching critical and are reaching nexus events. And Rena Renslayer is in her place. She grabs her disappearing one. I'm not sure if you would call it a time rod. And all of a sudden, everybody who is in the TVA starts to escape to wherever they're going. Not all of them, but some of them are starting to escape. And I'm pretty sure they're trying to find the source of this. Loki and Lady Loki are looking at each other. No words are being said. And the story is running on backup power. I mean, the cinematography is great. Everything is red. Lady Loki pops up another wormhole. And she waves at Loki, waves at main Loki, and then walks away. Our Loki walks up to the wormhole. I'm just calling it a wormhole. Mobius is telling Loki to not do it. Wait. But knowing Loki, he looks at them, doesn't even smirk, but just has this determined look in his eyes and runs. And then Mobius yells, damn it. And that is the end of, man, just a crazy freaking episode.
You know what I love most about this show compared to the first two? And like I said, I don't want to compare.
I'm comparing it. It's better.
Because all three are different, though. Like, they're all different. But this show pulls no punches. Like, the first two episodes feel like an episode 4 and 5 of the other shows. Like, I feel like with Falcon Winter Soldier, it took maybe 3 episodes before it really got like, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think the episode, but the end of episode 3 was like, we're going to go see Zemo. That's when Falcon Winter Soldier like turned up. You know what I'm saying? It took up until Monica mentioning Ultron for WandaVision to turn up. This episode, I mean, this show punches you in the mouth right the fuck away.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about it. It's shot beautifully.
It like, just looks good, man.
Yeah, and just the music, like, it makes you feel like the
I'm fate not watching of, a superhero show.
Yeah, not only that, it makes you feel like the fate of the world is really on the fucking line.
It feels like I'm watching a time heist thriller. You know what I'm saying? Like, have you if you've seen Tenet, if you've seen in not Interstellar, what's the same one Christopher Nolan did? You know what I'm talking about. The Room was turning, they were in dreams.
Was it Interstellar?
No, Interstellar is a space movie. And that's is that by Chris? It's also by Christopher Nolan. One of my favorite films of all time. But this is a different one. It has Matt Damon, but Leonardo DiCaprio. It has the nigga who played Bane. I can't think of his name right now.
Tom Hardy,
the nigga who was supposed to be Robin in Nolan's series. Joseph Gordon-Levitt. What is it? Inception.
Inception.
And okay. So when you see those are time-based thrillers. And this is what Loki feels like, a time-based thriller. You're not even focused on the fact that there's Doctor Strange out there. There's Wanda Maximoff. There's Falcon and Bucky. There's the rest of the Avengers. You're not even thinking about that at this moment. You're just thinking about timelines and introducing a character like Lady Loki. And no, this is not Enchantress. People had looked at a translation that said Sylvie, and Sylvie was a name for the Enchantress. But first of all, Disney's smart. They're not going to give away any big character. This is basically... Who was the person that everybody thought was going to be on Wanda?
What was his name? Mephisto.
This is basically Mephisto Part 2. No, this is not Enchantress. And on top of that, it would be a sloppy way to introduce Enchantress. Now, I'm not doubting that Kevin Feige can find a creative way to do it. Of course he can. But it wouldn't make sense because Loki, the god of mischief, his show is about him. And what is Loki? Yeah. Selfish. It would be weird to make the villain not him. This is truly about Loki, but not just the Loki we know who died, who he fell in love with. It's this variant Loki. It's Lady
Loki. It's not evolved Loki. And somebody had a good point. As you see in the other movies, through Loki's arc from Thor up into him getting killed in Infinity War, the growth. Like him and Thor finally... got on that same level with the end of Ragnarok. So he didn't get this point. This is still, this Loki didn't even make it to fucking Dark World where he was in the jail cell trying to get the Dark Elves to kill fucking Thor. Mm-hmm. So, but one thing I did like about this episode was like, you can see him, like he was really trying to help, but then he's still the god of mischief. Like,
I do think he has his own purposes, and I do think, I mean, it's almost like Deadpool kills the Marvel Universe. This Deadpool was depressed, and this Deadpool just wiped off everybody. And he literally killed other versions of himself as well because of his own narcissism. Of course, Deadpool didn't get killed by the main Deadpool we know. You see Pandapool. I mean, I love that comic. One of my favorite runs of Marvel. I think this Loki has a similar, I want to be the best Loki that there is. It's this Napoleon complex. It's always lesser Loki. It's always, I'm the superior Loki. Even when he sees this Loki, he doesn't smirk at Mobius like he's doing, like he's entering this little wormhole just to mess with him or just to be nefarious. It's, no, I'm going to go see what she's doing. How is she better than me? How is she a better Loki than I am? What is she doing differently from me? And their interactions next week, I said last week, this week is going to be crazy. Next week is going to be crazy. The stakes just keep getting amped and it's set perfectly. The interaction between Owen Wilson and Tom Hiddleston is Emmy worthy and Golden Globe worthy, and this is not hyperbole. If they keep this up, I do not see how you can nominate them. On top of that, set art have been fantastic. Cinematography, costume design. This is ripe for Golden Globe and Emmy nominations, and I really am intrigued to see what goes on with it. But it's just a great show, and it's going to perfectly lead up into the Multiverse of Madness. Is that 2022?
Yeah, it's next. That's next year. It's March, February or March.
bro. And the first one,
I think about it, 2022 is only 6 months away.
And the Multiverse of Madness will not have some concluding ending. The multiverse isn't going to get figured out. No, it's going to become chaotic as we know it. And I'm really intrigued to see how they explain the timekeepers, because the timekeepers are capped right now. They exist, but I think they've just used the TVA to kill off things that are disorderly and disorderly timelines within the multiverse. And they talk about this sacred timeline. So it's intriguing. It's a multiverse within this one timeline. And I'm intrigued to see when the timelines break. And remember, what did the ancient ones say? Branch realities. When a branch reality breaks, it causes chaos. And so when the Avengers use the stones, they put it back. They got rid of these branch realities. And for their perception, they probably get back immediately, even though they use the stones for a longer period of time. So now that you have all these branch realities, this is the setting the stage for Marvel going forward. It's not going to go to orderly. It is chaotic. And I think
it's chaotic, and it's going to open up a lot of possibilities, even just like actor-wise, like I was saying last week. There's going to be opportunities for the OGs to come back. There's going to be opportunities for us to see Chris Evans again. There's going to be opportunities for us to see Robert Downey Jr. again, even though his character's dead. Because the multiverse is nigga. It's the whole shit is fucked up now. So there's other ways for it to come on. And with Spider-Man, it opens up a whole new world for the MCU in general. And, you know, just with this episode, it's like it's opening all the possibilities for not just this show, but the MCU is never going to be the same ever again after this shit. And what I like, I feel like the tone is being set for these TV shows. And I think every new show that we have is going to get even better. You know what I'm saying? Like, and now we know what type of possibilities they have. Like, even with She-Hulk is going to introduce, even though this has nothing to do with the multiverse, She-Hulk is going to introduce Banner's son. So it's like, it's different things. Like, these shows are really going to, like, step it up to that next level.
Yeah.
So that's what I loved about it. It was 10 out of 10. Every episode of this show so far to me has been 10 out of 10.
Easily.
And next week, you're going to really see Lady Loki's, like, plan.
Yeah, I want to hear her story. I want to know what interacted with her Loki. I don't know enough about Lady Loki in the comics. I hate to say Lady Loki because she's just straight up Loki. She is not Lady Loki in her universe.
But wasn't Lady Loki her name in the comics though?
No, it's just Loki, as far as I know. Comic book heads, please forgive me if I'm wrong. I'm a very hero specific comic connoisseur. If there is a like Thor, I know a lot about Thor. I know a lot about Better Ray Bill. When it comes to Odin's history, that means I have to pay attention to specific runs. Loki has his own runs. I think I've read maybe one Loki run, if that. So there's so many things I just do not know. So I'm intrigued to know how this Loki has come to be who she is. I'm pretty sure I'm just gonna go to Marvel Comics app and just download it and just read it. But anyway, that episode's a 10 out of 10. We're looking forward to next week. I mean, I even forgot. I was watching, was it Kevin Durant? With the
Kevin Durant. His legacy, yeah.
Have one of the greatest games. And I was like, oh, crap, freaking.
I texted you. I was like, oh, shit, Loki can win tonight.
You know, and so I'm just happy about that. I'm happy to have watched this. It's a pleasant surprise on a Wednesday. And we're looking forward to it next week, man. We thank you all for listening. And we will be back.